Your brain is merely a vehicle that is used by your true mind, which is a field of energy. All physical matter, in truth, is simply a field of energy. And this is inclusive of the physical body, the minerals, vegetables, everything in nature is this energy. And this is the process of life, is also an exchange of energy between one energy field and another. The mind of man as a field of energy, though located in the brain, does not have to be confined to the body proper. Really hear that. You can move your consciousness anywhere in your body that you want it to be. As a matter of fact, back in the Lemurian days, our consciousness was in our heart, because our heart has 40,000 brain cells, and that's where we actually had our conscious thoughts. So whatever a person thinks on a conscious level of the mind enters the personal subconscious or your memory banks. Then whatever is in the memory bank of the mind, which is your subconscious, likewise is going to flow out to what's known as the psychic level. So imagine, if you will, this radio broadcast, right? And you are thinking and you are feeling and vibrating a certain way. Whether it's good or bad, we're not there just yet. That feeling, that vibration, those thoughts, that energy, remember we're energy, that's going to go out to that psychic field. And it's going to magnetize itself, match itself to everything out there. And what, through the law of attraction, then does it have to do? It's going to return to you. So very, very important to think about that for a second. What are you thinking? What are your words saying about you? You know, what's showing up? Because if that, then understand, is the cause and the effect. So everything that's showing up on the outside, whether it be family being discontent and, you know, having issues, or your job is unraveling, or it's time to leave a relationship or leave that job or move out of your home, whatever that looks like on the outside, even as minute as your children acting out, and believe it or not, because we said all energy is the same, your animals acting out. Maybe your puppy is doing something, a behavior that's new and didn't do before. All of this is the effect. And you, and hear me closely and carefully, you are the cause. That's what's going on internally. As above, so below. As within, so without. And so what you are creating on the inside is only being reflected on the outside. And so that's what we're going to be discussing today. Really, how do we then take our subconscious mind and change the patterns of what we're thinking and doing and feeling and all of that, so that the outside can more reflect what our truer and sincere wish and hope for ourselves is. So welcome in once again to Affirmations for Living. Of course, I am your host, Reverend Edvige, and what an exciting show. Again, I know I say that every week, but every week I'm just so delighted to be able to bring you these points and these concepts and these tools to really help you to begin to take charge of your life so that you can be living the life that you so deserve. My guest today is Lenar Bragg. Lenar is really, really quite interesting and wonderful. She has a website called No Out There. And you have to think about that for a moment. What does that mean? Well, isn't that that cause and effect thing? You know, we sometimes think that everything, we want to blame God, we want to blame your spouse, you want to blame your job, you want to blame the news, you want to blame everything that's out there. And no, it's not out there that is the cause. The out there is just the effect. You, internally, you are the cause. And so it's going to be fun having that discussion with her. Again, check out her website, nooutthere.com. Fascinating. And so whatever you are thinking on a mental level is what you will attract on the physical level. If you seek love, more money, success, or whatever, the mind will attract it telepathically, providing you are a vibrational match to it. You see and understand this. Asking is one frequency and receiving is another. And, you know, we tend to beat, or how do you say it? We really, you know, the record's broken already. Stop asking the same thing. You have to ask knowing that it is given, right? Believing and knowing that it is given. Then you have to change the station. because now we're on the asking channel, but we cannot receive, folks, on the asking channel. We have to go to the receiving channel to receive. And that's a little different, because on that receiving channel, you then have to vibrate acceptance, allowance, gratitude, love, harmony. All of these things have to happen on the receiving channel for you then to receive what you've been asking for over and over and over and over again. So if things aren't showing up the way that you want them, it's because you're probably not asking the right way. And you have to understand another part of this is it's not about what you ask for. It's not about what you are just vibrating and getting without asking for. It's about who you are. You're going to get what you are. So you have to reprogram yourself, let go of all the things that no longer serve you, so that in your subconscious, where everything is housed, right, where your subconscious is now vibrating the new belief about yourself. Then when you ask, then it can come to you. So understand that we are programmed through our subconscious from childhood, actually even before childhood, in the womb, we are actually starting to be programmed. And we spoke about that last week on my energy show. So you're in the womb and you're listening to whatever your parents are listening to and doing, right? They're listening to the news, whether your mom is happy or she is depressed or something's going on outside, that's actually going to impact you, and you're going to begin to seed your subconscious from that moment moving forward. So then you're born, and then how they respond to you, what you hear in the news, what you go to school and you hear, all of these things begin to seed who you're going to be. Now, as an adult, your subconscious is set. It thinks it's running the show. And so let's say, for an example, you're moving into a new relationship, but all your past relationships have failed miserably, and you wonder why you keep repeating this cycle. And so now you're here and you're at this new relationship, and guess what? Your subconscious is going to say, hold on, no need to even think about this. We know how we're going to respond. We've already done this before. And so it's up to you to start to change and release all of those things that are subconsciously holding you back, that you don't even know that that's what's going on. And so that's why people think that it's always on the outside that, you know, something for them to blame. But it's not. You just don't understand that you've been falsely programmed. And so that's what we're going to get in today. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring Lenar on because this is going to be exciting. I know I had an email from someone on Facebook, and we're going to cover your question, so hold on.
Hello.
Hello, Lenar. How are you?
I'm doing great, Aziz.
Wonderful. You are live on LA Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for being here today. As a matter of fact, guys, before we get started, let me give you the call-in number. That number is 323-203-0815. So please call in with your questions. This is going to be really good. So, Lenar, I was talking about no out there and how we are, you know, it's so easy to blame outside circumstances, not understanding that it's through the seeding of your subconscious that you are already responding and having these things happen to you. So if you would, just, you know, tell us about your efforts, your No Out There movement, and just share a little bit of background with the audience.
Okay, great. Well, I actually had been looking around in my life for some way to feel better. This is about when I was 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. And what I came across was this Earn Holmes, that was the first foray, who said that anger really didn't have anything to do with anybody outside of yourself. It, you know, anger was about yourself. And I was like, what? You mean I?
Oh, yeah.
I had no people that they did something. And so, you know, that stuck in my mind, and nothing really shifted, changed, altered too much about it, but it was there in the background. And then, you know, I was just like on this journey because I wanted to have a different kind of relationship with my parents than I was having. And somewhere along the way, through some seminar or workshop or something that I did, I learned that if you want to change something, the place to do it is over here, mm-hmm. not over there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that where the power resides is in the self. So now I have two things going about anger, right? That's over here with self.
Yes.
And that if you want to make change, that's over here with self. If you want to make change in the world, even, that's over here with self. So, you know, I've got these two things. And then, this was, let me see, in 1992, I went to the Landmark Forum, and they had this phrase that said, if when you're in an upset, that what that upset has to do with is an undelivered communication, a thwarted intention, or an unfulfilled expectation.
Mm.
And of course I went, what is that in English?
So yeah, really, break it down.
Yeah. So over the years, how it's come to me is, oh, when I'm in upset, there is something that, so this is the one for undelivered communication, something that I think or feel I should have said that I didn't say. Now, that was my first iteration of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years have gone by, it's come to something that I think or feel I should have said that I didn't, and I'm now making them wrong about.
Mm. Yeah, we have to speak our truth. In this whole process, it's so important that we, first of all, we need to know what our truth is, right? But then mm-hmm. to speak it, and there's no need to ever speak it in a harsh way, because that's just creating more angst and more negative energy. But in a loving way, we have to speak up for ourselves and speak our truth, because if that person doesn't understand or there's a miscommunication, it's your fault. It's not their fault, because you're the one not standing up.
And I wanted to say, and it's not my fault either.
Mm.
It's Bob's fault, see. And that, oh, yeah, I left out something, because in between Landmark and when I got that, where the change was over here,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Rice, he's called the forgiveness doctor. You can find him on.
Oh, yes, I'm so familiar with him. Uh-huh.
So he was another one about the forgiveness. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking, like you said, well, if it's not their fault and if they're not to blame, then it must be me. And so for some years, I was going around, okay, well, I know it's not about them. I know if I'm angry, it's not about them. If I'm upset, it's not about them. Then the problem is over here with me. So, you know, I was forever just blaming myself. And then I spoke with him, and he said, no, that's not it. They're not to blame, and you're not to blame either. What's going on is the erroneous thought that's being held in the mind. That's where the problem is. It's in your mind.
Yep. Yeah, he's really good for what I love about him, because actually he came to Vegas and I went to all of his workshops. What's really cool about him, he talks about, you know, that exercise, your reality, and he did an exercise where he said, okay, pretend this, and he picked up something and he walks into the room, and you're like, you really can't tell what energy it is, and you know, his expression on his face is like, is it good, is he happy, is he mad, is he what? And then he throws something, and so he said to someone in the audience, okay, describe what just happened. And so they did. They described something that happened, and he said, nope, that wasn't it. And he said, that's your reality. That was not the actuality of it. And so that's such an important part of this. You know, we want to jump to conclusions, right? And that's not the actuality. That's just your illusion of it, your perception of it. And perception is so much a part of the whole equation, isn't it? How we allow things to affect us. So, yeah, wonderful point.
It is perception is, not just about, it's about life, period. In every moment, you've got a perception going on based on whatever is already in our brains. That, you know, that you spoke about that coming into the room, like you said, that was your reality. That's why first responders, firemen, policemen, that's why they go out and do the interviews and ask people, well, what did you see? And then they take all of that and they get close to the actuality because they have come to understand that part of ontology that human being is only going to see what it is through their lens. That's all we can see through.
Exactly.
And it's nothing wrong with that. What there is just to know that that's what's going on. I used to have this theory or saying, and I still do, about the screen door version of the world. It's like the elephant. I don't know if you know that story about the blind men around the elephant, and they're in different locations, and they're saying, well, what do you feel? So the one in front of the trunk is just saying, well, it's solid, you know, and it's nothing. I can't move it, and it goes up very high, and it goes down very low, but at some point low, and there's something there. And then there's someone by the tail. And he's saying, well, no, it's very thin here, and it comes and it goes, and you get a little breeze from it. And then I said the trunk, I meant the body for the first one. And then there's someone that says, no, the thing that's swinging is very big, and it's kind of wrinkly. I don't know what word they use for wrinkly, but you get my drift.
Uh-huh.
And so what I got, and then there's us who are standing back here. We have eyes to see, and so we know what it is they're looking at. So in some way, what I have come to understand is it behooves me to check out your perception of what I see through my little pinprick hole in that screen and somebody else. If I check out enough folks, maybe I can begin to get a picture of whatever that it is that the person who's really standing way back there can see, because they can see that there's a whole world on the other side of that screen.
Absolutely. Being objective and looking with really open eyes. And, you know, we so want to stick to who's right and who's wrong. And, well, you know, the way I see it, in my opinion, is so much better. And I got it right. You don't know what you're talking about. We really have to let go of that energy. And it's so amazing how if you just make a 30-degree turn, your whole perception of reality changes. And then from that same standing point, turn again and watch how the whole reality and your perception of it changes, because you're looking at a different view. And so there are many different ways to look at something, and they all have truths to them. And so we really have to be so much more open in our awareness so that we can get a fuller picture of really the actuality of it.
Right. So, be like a tourist.
Yeah, exactly. Observe. As we go along our day, really begin to wake up, observe what's going on around you. So I got a question from someone, and I'm going to read it out loud, and I want to get your take on it, and then I'll give mine. So someone Facebooked me, and I won't give your name because I know you're listening. Okay, so she said she understands that the subject today was going to be about the subconscious and the programming and all of that kind of stuff. I would like some help in this, especially when the contributors are not apologetic, empathetic, or remorseful, and cannot be expected to be kind, supportive, or different in the future. And they are your whole family. You were raised to depend on for support. Moving on this is the hardest, even after walking away. Grieving the living seems unnatural, unfinished. And then she says, I look forward to your show. So how does someone in that space of, well, you heard where she is, how does she move from that space and to try to, you know, make sense of everything?
This is so funny. I was sitting here chuckling as I was listening, because whoever that is, she kind of described my life until I got clear about what was going on.
Because everything is so divine. So thank you for Facebooking us.
Yes, that is so perfect. I don't know if she or he heard what I said.
She. Uh-huh.
Really a lot of this quest that I was on and how I came to know out there was because I wanted a better relationship with my folks,
mm-hmm.
my family. So I understand what she's saying, and it would have been so easy to continue to make them wrong, continue to blame. And in that same landmark course, and I don't know if this applies to her, Well, I'm going to tell you what happened for me, because at some point I got that the anger that I had wasn't about them.
Mm.
And anger is such a blanket. It covers up so much. Because
yes.
It feels so good. I mean, oh, gosh, I used to look good to be in that anger, and I would be making them wrong. And, you know, I talk about the things that I felt I should have said that I didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do that in my mind. That's called recrimination, where you go into your mind and you say all those things and you put them in their place. But, you know, like you do that. Oh, gosh, I used to have
don't
such
you feel
fun
good? Yeah, exactly. It's like,
oh,
I'm in power now, and I I got this, and all that stuff. Yeah, ego.
Right. And so the next time they open their mouth, I'm ready for them. I'm right, because I've
got practice.
My stuff back now. Oh, yes, girl, yes, that was good. So I went to the landmark thing, you know, and I was sitting up there, and this is their introductory thing. And, they talked about domination and control of domination or something, and I just suddenly saw my mom's and my relationship, because that's what it was about for me. And actually, that happened then, and then it just took some more years. What I came to was that the anger was covering up. I was angry at myself. And the anger was covering up some shame that I felt, because I had a conversation that I should not, that's a very important word in awakening. You want to pay attention to the shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be. Because anytime those things are present in your conversation, in your thinking, that's fairy tale land.
Mm-hmm.
Because the what so is that is what's going on, and that can't help you. It cannot help you if you hang out in the shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe I'm supposed to be. So let me just go back. So I shouldn't love people who treated me, and I'm putting in parentheses, that way, or who treated me like that.
Mm.
And once I got that was what the issue was, that I was ashamed that I loved people who I had were treating me bad. You know, now we can do Aretha Franklin. You treated me bad. Oh, you know, that song, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Chain of Fools. Oh, yeah, sing Chain of Fools right in there, and you'll have problems with it. Right?
Chain
no, girl.
Of Fools. Because
yes.
You're a fool, you know, and oh, my God, you're bringing up something so powerful, okay, because, you know, I've even had that conversation with my husband, because he does everything for his mom, and to listen to how she raised him, to talk about, I felt that she was absolutely mean to him. I mean, really mean and just gosh darn awful. And I said to him, and this is years and years ago, you know, before we got on our path, how could you even talk to her now because she treated you so poorly? And it didn't even affect him. He has so much love that it's like, that was then, this is now. And he didn't harbor that anger towards her for the way she treated him. And I'm like, wow, you're a better person than me. Because, you know, we want to hold on to those things. And it's like, how can I get past this? Why should I forgive you? And then how can I love you even though you've been so crappy to me? What's wrong with me? Don't I think myself better than that? And it has nothing to do with those things. So continue. Sorry.
No, that was perfect. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because once I got present to that, all there was that I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't have to be ashamed of that. Just be with the love.
Absolutely.
It was like something fell off of me.
Mm.
Something away from me. And I just beed with the love I have for them. I just be with it, because that was all there was. I loved them, and it didn't matter what they said. It didn't matter what they did. It didn't matter you telling me, oh, you shouldn't, there's that word again, you shouldn't love them. Or how can you? Or why
do you?
You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, you can just walk away and get a divorce from them. Like, what? And for years, I wasn't present to what was going on. But once I took the blanket of anger off and got present to that I was ashamed that I loved people, I was ashamed and embarrassed because I loved my parents. And then I wish I could pinpoint, like, the what happened, that the shame left. And maybe it was my, because by then I was a computer programmer and, you know, the if then else thing. It's like, well, if I can just, you know, I don't have to be ashamed that I love them.
No, because it's the natural state. And, you know, they're a part of who you are. So it's just a normal state to want to love those that are around you. And you know what's so very interesting, because we spoke of Michael Rice earlier, you know, he gave me a copy of the Aramaic version of the Lord's Prayer, and I just want to actually read a portion of it, because you know what, this is really, really vital. You know, when people do things and we feel offended by them, wow. He says, take a look at this and understand the blessing that they're bringing up issues in you that perhaps you can evaluate and resolve and let go. When we are tempted or lost, let's see, here we go, that you forgive from us those realities that we have engaged in that do us harm and do not belong in our humanness is another of your blessings we appreciate. We commit to the responsibility and forgiving as to those painful realities others trigger in us. See, so others are triggering in us realities that perhaps we could adjust and let go of. And it's a blessing. So those things that are making you angry, those things that might not be working just right, you know, and you're like, what's going on with my family? Why are they saying that? Step back for a moment, change your perception of it, and perhaps there's something that, well, perhaps there's a blessing in it, you know?
Absolutely. There's a blessing in everything, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Truly there is. And it may not look like it in the moment.
Well, yeah, the odds are, and I would probably say those odds are 90 to 10, that it does not look like that in the moment. But because your emotions are so strong that that's all you can see, you know, you really have blinders on. So take those blinders off. Turn 30 degrees and now look at the situation and begin to, because gratitude is such a healing thing, begin to find things to be grateful for. Look at your family and find something about them to appreciate. It's like, okay, you can see all the negativity, but what in that, and there's something, find something to love. Find something to be grateful for that you are a part of that family. And as you begin to look at it through that 60-degree turn, right, that new perception is, oh, you know what, they're not so bad. Oh, you know what, I do like this. And, oh, okay, we can have fun doing this. And it's not about you trying to change them. It's about you trying to look at them with different eyes.
Yes. I want to say something. This is, again, to that young lady. One of the other things I learned on my No Out There journey, mm-hmm, is that whatever comes out of my mouth is about me, even if I mention you in it. And conversely, whatever comes out of someone else's mouth is about them.
Correct.
Even if they mention me in it.
Amen.
So whatever her folks are doing or her family, that doesn't have anything to do with her.
Nope.
At all. And that's like this fairy tale land, this Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole place that we're in. We're not that important in other people's lives. You remember that song, you're just a squirrel in my world trying to get a nut. It's like that. It really is.
Yeah.
People are not thinking about us, you know, most of the time. They're in their own world. I learned this thing again from Mayor Mark said, one of the guys there said, you know, even our noblest endeavors, even at the very bottom core of that, we're in it because it makes us feel good. It's about us. If they get the benefit, that's a good thing. However, the core of it is, the crux of it is, it's all about me.
Yes.
And that's not bad.
No, it's not. And that's, yeah, you know, yeah, wow. Because everything, and I said earlier in my show before you came on, there is this thing called cause and effect. Everything that's going on the outside is the effect, and you are the cause. So it doesn't, you know, not necessarily good or bad. It is what it is, but you're right. You are the creator of your experience. Whether you think you gave attention to it or not, whether you want it or not, you get what you are. It's not necessary that you get what you ask for. You get what you are, because in that subconscious is programmed and seeded. And so what is your core belief about yourself is what you will attract. So you really have to go internal. Go ahead.
And there is a point in life, at least in mine, where I do get exactly what I ask for.
Oh, yeah.
And even though I'm saying exactly what I asked for, it may not show up exactly in the manner I wanted it to show up in.
And that's the other part. Be careful.
Yeah. It's the story of the horse. You know, people say, I really want a horse. They want to ride the horse, but they don't want to groom it or clean up its poop.
Thank
or
you.
Stay with it. You know, or feed it, because horses are expensive to feed now. They eat a lot. So when I'm thinking that I want something, let me do a 360-degree picture of this, or as best as I can. Don't just do that little, 25%, because that other 75% could be a humdinger.
Thank you. See, and that's so important. Be careful of what you ask for. And here's the other part of that. You have to be open to allow it and receive it how it shows up, because that's what you were a match to. And so it may not come to you in the exact way you may have thought it would, but guess what? It showed up in the way you vibrated to.
Yes, amen to that. So I told the young lady about whatever they're saying is about them. It doesn't have anything to do with her. And you brought up forgiveness, because I wanted to get to that. Michael Rice also had From the Aramaic. He said, forgive. People think it's about forgiving people over there, out there.
Mm-hmm.
No. Where forgiveness is over here. And I know we have heard this a lot of times. We forgive not for the other, but we forgive for ourselves. So that's the piece of it, to have ourselves peace. But what he said is, in the Aramaic, the way Yeshua was saying it was to lay on the altar. Mm. That's that song about lay my burdens down.
Down, yep.
That's what that is about. It is about that. It is a releasing and a letting go. Such that what I have left is me. I don't have that other stuff.
By the way, his website is Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Because
I thought it was whyagain.com.
You know what? Well, while you go ahead and talk, let me look it up real quick.
So while Evie's just looking that up, there are a couple of other points to know out there. It's really very, like, 4 points. Like, when it upset, I promise if you look at these places first, it just brought such peace to my life, and I am promising that it brings peace to yours also. So the first one is, like I was saying, what is it I think or feel I should have said that I didn't say that I am now making myself wrong for? That I'm blaming myself because I didn't say that. Or what is it I think or feel I should have done that I didn't do that I am now making myself wrong for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm blaming myself.
Absolutely.
What is it I feel or think I should have gotten that I didn't get that I'm, blaming myself for? Because, of course, there's something that I should have done that I didn't do, so I didn't get what I wanted to have. And the last one is a very subtle one. What is it I think or feel I should have been able to contribute? That wasn't, and this is a little tricky, I'm saying, that wasn't accepted.
Wow.
And I'm blaming myself for. And that one happens a lot in communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to point across, and the person is not getting it. And so, you know, we're like, oh, man, you know, at first we're going to blame them, like, stupid, you know, I'm saying it in English. What's wrong with you?
Hello. What's wrong with you?
Right. And then the place you go is, oh, man, then it must be me. I'm not saying it right. It's like, no. It's just communication, their perception, they're wired differently. And so there just may be just a few more words to say or, you know, ask a question, something, but it doesn't mean there's anything wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. I found his site. It is whyagain.com, and he speaks right on forgiveness. Forgiveness, and it's an Aramaic definition of. Forgiveness is not as Greek philosophy teachers pardoning others. In Aramaic, forgiveness is an internal self-healing tool. And he has forgiveness workshops and all sorts of things on his website. So definitely check it out, whyagain.com. Because, yeah, really valuable tools.
Yes. So, know out there, what I have found, like I shared the shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be. Like I said, those, engaging in any of that is definitely going to take one down a path that usually doesn't lead to any good.
Mm.
Usually doesn't. Fairy tale land.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really important that we begin to become aware of, you know, even how we feel, and to just really start to speak that truth and to open ourselves up a little bit more, to not look on the outside for blame, but to begin to evaluate and look at our inside. I think we may have a caller, so let's bring them in. Hello? Oh. I think it fell. Okay. Well, caller, call back from the 702 area code. Give us a call back. We are ready to take your call. So tell everyone the name of your site again is Know Out There. And so now do you do sort of counseling? What exactly do you do, Lenore?
Well, occasionally I have workshops when there are enough people in a particular area who, you know, would like me to come and do some work on Know Out There, and actually use examples in our lives that, you know, you want to just have some movement through. So there's that. And, yes, I do individual counseling. Yes, I do that.
Okay. So if someone comes to you, what's the first step or what would you, you know, how would you approach them? They have that anger issue. So the lady who sent the Facebook message, she's not getting along with her family. And, you know, how does she begin to change how she's perceiving it? Because in her place, she's angry. She's probably not happy. How can she change, what little tidbit can you give her to change her perception so that she can start to begin to feel better about herself, really, and move through it with a little more ease?
The first thing is it's okay for her to feel how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly, you know, it's perfectly okay to feel how she feels. And if the anger is present, understand that the anger doesn't have anything to do with the person, place, or thing outside of herself. The anger is covering up, and it's usually covering up something good. The anger is covering up what's really going on, and so that's the place to look. So the first place the first place to go is to know that the anger isn't about anyone out there. And what she had said was that they were doing these different things. So the next thing to know is that whatever they are doing, whatever they are saying, doesn't have anything to do with her. And take one from the four agreements. Don't take it personally.
Mm. Yeah, you know, sometimes that's difficult, though, because they're not giving her the support. They're not being, as she said, empathetic. They're not remorseful. So perhaps they did something to her that hurt her feelings, and no one seems to be sorry for it. And she's probably thinking they need to apologize to her, right? I'm just assuming all this. But looking at it, she says they're not apologetic, empathetic, or remorseful. And moving forward, she knows that she's not going to get any of that from them in the future.
Mm. And so that's... So stop looking over there. If you're already, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is what?
It's not going to happen.
Insanity, right.
Hello, you know, yeah.
That's insanity. So the first thing you do is let that go. It's not coming from there. And if you have to cry about it or feel, you know, upset about it, that's okay.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, and actually, oh, God, you know, one of the things, I've been writing a book, I have it in different stages, and I start out in the book and say, look, people, we have been lied to, bamboozled, you know, the wool pulled over our eyes, a whole bunch of other phrases that I cannot recall at the moment, and it's not their fault, because they didn't know any better either.
Correct.
You know, been taught to look out there and say the problem is out there. Nothing can be solved out there. That's still going to go on. It has been for eons, and probably for some eons it's going to continue to go on. The place where there is power, where I can shift, change, alter what's going on, is right over here.
Thank you.
Isn't that powerful? It's like, oh, I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do another seminar. I don't have to do another course. I don't have to listen to another thing. I just have to be over here and check around and say, what is it that works for me?
That, you know, is stuff, key. Uh-huh.
The stuff that's coming out of their mouth, if it's, you know,
the word that came, the one thing that I love to say is, your opinion of me is none of my business.
Right. That's Terry Cole Whitaker. What you think of me is none of my business.
None of my business. And
that's
we
right.
Really got to embrace that and stop worrying about, you know, this sense of false imaging. We watch TV, we look in magazines and what people have to say, and we think that all of that matters. It's like, no, what your relationship with God and your relationship with yourself, that's the one that matters, folks, and start to communicate.
Right.
And when you start to go back inside of yourself and start to communicate with your higher self, and you are happy with self and self is happy with you, guess what? Then all of this outside stuff, first of all, you won't even see it and be aware of it because it just doesn't matter. It's so insignificant. But the power to be, do, and have and create, all of it's within. You know, disease, all of these things, we have the ability to heal ourselves in every aspect of our life. The control is here, not out there. And we have to take the responsibility that if we're getting what we don't like, if we're experiencing things that we don't enjoy, who's look at yourself and begin to address how you can change your perception about whatever it is, so that you can begin to create what you actually want and desire. And then the other thing, because you said that earlier, be careful of how you ask for it, because it's going to show up how you are a match to it. And so you need to begin to vibrate a better vibration of something, a clearer vibration of something, so that it comes to you closer to what you actually really, really desire. All different aspects of the laws of attraction and all of that stuff. But, yeah, you need to have a clearer vision of self. Our self-imaging has so been damaged by all this false programming and all of this crap around us and out there. And it really impacts us in a negative way. So, you know, what we're saying doesn't necessarily happen overnight. It is a process, but it's one that we have to begin to address.
And it works.
Yeah, well,
it really does work.
Yeah.
And to that young lady, and to anyone who is listening, it's some simple things. At least it looks simple to me. And believe me, even after I said that out of my mouth, my brain went to, okay, you know, you're going to be 62, and you've been doing
Hello.
This since you were 18. So 42 years, it's like, okay, may not be, well, I'm sharing, you know, I'm here at this stage in my journey, and so I'm sharing what I've learned along the way. And so what I want to say to you, when the red flag comes up, the red flag of anger comes up, know that it doesn't have anything to do with any person, place, or thing outside of you. And look to see what are you shooting on. What is the should that you should have said or done or gotten or wanted to contribute that's not there? And you have an opportunity to go do that thing or just drop it or lay it on the altar, sort of, you know. You have an opportunity to do that. No, so that's number one. Or two, know that whatever is coming out of someone else's mouth, even if it's complimentary, doesn't have anything to do with you. It's making them feel good. Even that their anger directed at you is making them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it takes a moment for that one. But, and like Advij is saying, speak your truth. Speak from the eye. When you say something, you did, that's not going to get you anywhere. I feel blah, 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 blah. Or I wish
yes.
this was happening. As much as possible, speak from I with, and as someone used to tell me, like a camera. You know, and like a camera is looking through the lens. But if you see two people in front of a car and the heads are bobbing and the hands on the hip, you might look at that and say, well, they're having an argument. Well, they could just be laughing and talking about something exciting that happened or just thrilled that they're going, you know, to this play or whatever. But mm-hmm. because we're, like we started out at the beginning of the show talking about our perception of it, check your perception. When you're speaking from the eye, take the emotion out of it.
Thank you.
Take all of that away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to see, like, what else can I leave, you know, folks with?
And that's so important, because when you're speaking your truth and you're speaking from the eye, you know what? Before you finish the conversation, could you make sure that they actually got what you were trying to say? And when someone is responding to you, it's a good idea to perhaps reiterate, to repeat it, to paraphrase it, so that, okay, let me understand. You are saying this, this, and this. Okay, so that you are communicating. People have lost the gift. The ability to communicate. We text and we text with shorthand, and I'm like, is that a word? What does that mean? I don't understand half the stuff. You know, it took me a minute to understand what a colon and a sideways comma thing meant. I'm like, is that a sideways smile? I had no clue. And this LOL that people put at the end of things, I'm like, what is that? And I found out it means laugh out loud. I'm like, huh, really? And so, you know what? We have to work on our communication skills. And so paraphrase, make sure that you're understanding what a person says so that you're getting the actual meaning of what they're trying to tell you, and then do the same. Make sure that we are communicating clearly so that there can be no misunderstanding, because that's a lot of times what happened. You perceive them to say something this way, and that's not what they intended at all. So before you leave a conversation, make sure you understand what the conversation's about.
Yes. Two things came to mind. One is about that whole shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be. Any of those words in conversation means we're in fairy tale land, and that's a perception or a judgment. Now, and it's okay to have those. Just be present to that's all that that is.
Yeah.
It's just a perception.
And so, yeah. You know what? We're actually out of time. This, you know, it's so important that we really begin to dialogue with ourselves and to really go within and start to really look at ourselves and how we see the world. And if you begin in that place, well, it's a good starting place. I want to thank you, Lenar. Well, I can't believe this time has already flown by. We're going to have to do this again, because obviously we could continue this.
Remember, no one's to blame, not even you.
Correct. It is what it is, and just start to change perhaps the way you are. Your thoughts, yeah. Change your thinking. Yeah.
Held in the mind.
Well, and it's the false programming again, all that stuff that's in your subconscious that was falsely seeded and isn't even the truth about you. But guess what? Your subconscious runs the show. 90% of everything we experience is based on what's already seeded in that subconscious mind. And so it's really about learning how to change that programming. And when you change that programming, now your perception changes.
Right. And listening to this show is one of the ways to do that.
Yeah, absolutely, because it makes you begin to think and question, and that's how you start this wake-up process and the shift. So, again, thank you. We will do this again soon.
Okay, Elise. Thank you so much. It was great being here.
Take care. Bye-bye. So, everybody,
bye-bye.
There you have it. Another amazing episode of really how to find the tools to empower ourselves and how to take control. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living. You can follow me on Facebook. Of course, you can visit me on my website, affirmationsforliving.net. I have a monthly newsletter with all sorts of cool information in it. I'm also going to be launching a phone app in the next couple of weeks, so I'm really excited about that because you'll be able to follow everything really easily. And I think that's about it for this time. You take care. Really be safe. Love yourself and be blessed. Take care. Bye-bye.